This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There is a reason why so many people, even those who've never heard of Dan Markell or the Adelsons or anything about that case, feel something deep and visceral when they see or hear Donna Adelson speak. Why is that? Why are so many people connected in their collective angst against this woman? I got some ideas on that, and I think I know why. It's not just about the crime. It's not just about the legal arguments or the evidence or even the tragedy of a murdered father whose children were caught in the middle of a family feud turned fatal. And I'm not minimizing that at all, but this video is not about that. It's about something else. It's about Donna and people like Donna. It's that look, that tone, that manipulative self-pity masquerading as suffering. It's that particular brand of narcissism that millions of people recognize instantly because they've lived it. The internet didn't unite in disgust at Donna Adelson because she was just another villain. It united because she represented someone people had been gaslit by, guilt-tripped by, manipulated by, or psychologically gutted by. And watching her finally get called out by reality to many felt like long overdue justice. Not just for Dan Markell, but for every person who's ever survived someone like her. When you hear Donna speak in her jail calls, in her letters, her courtroom statements, you can hear the language of narcissism in every syllable. The tone is measured, but cutting. The phrase is centered on herself, even when the subject is murder. Her words orbit around her pain, her suffering, her losses. That's not genuine acknowledgement of the life taken or the wreckage left behind. Instead, it's, how could this happen to me? How much I've been through. How unfair all of this is. We all know it. It's the same language narcissistic abusers use when they've been caught. When control is slipping through their fingers, they can't truly see the damage they've done because empathy is something they mimic, not feel. They only understand it as a tool, a way to manage perception, not emotion. That's a key to understanding this. Because I think a lot of us are looking at this going, damn, this feels close to home. Damn, this feels like somebody I know or had known. And quite often in real life, there's not a stand to put them on. There's not charges to be brought against. Thank God. Because you don't want that to go this far where those relationships end like this one did. But so often in real life, in the free world, if you manage to escape the abuse of one, they just drift off into the ether, never really facing consequences for their actions, just the trail of destruction in so many cases. So it is deeply satisfying to see one like this literally be locked in a cage. So people get lots of joy out of watching her on her prison transport videos alone. There's these videos of everyone. Not everybody is flocking to them the way they do to Donna, to watch her locked away, where her own self-aggrandized needs don't cling to the wall like super glue. That's why Donna Adelson has hit such a raw nerve in the public. She's not just a story about privilege or greed or family dysfunction. She's the mother, the boss, the ex, the manipulator, who's always one step away from tears, but never from control. She's the voice that once convinced you that you were the crazy one, that your pain is an overreaction, and that their lies and their cruelty, it was just concern. It was all justified for the greater good, right? And watching someone like that finally have to answer for their actions publicly, unavoidably, with no one left to gaslight, it's something primal. It's catharsis. That's the kind of quiet rage that builds up in people who survive narcissistic abuse. It's not just anger at what was done to them. It's anger at how invisible it often was while it was happening. Because narcissists don't usually hit you with something you can point to and say, see right there. It's not a single punch. It's death by a thousand cuts. It's a slow bleed. It's leeching. It's the rewiring of your sense of reality. The constant, oh, I never said that. You're remembering it wrong. What are you doing over there? You're too sensitive. And the longer you're in it, the harder it is to see that it's happening at all. That's what makes it so damaging. So the public sees Donna Adelson looking down from a witness stand, clutching her papers like they're pearls, like the world has betrayed her. It's not just disgust, it's recognition. It's a thousand memories flooding back for people who once sat across from their own version of Donna, trying to explain how much they were hurting and being met with that same blank, pity-soaked stare. At her sentencing, Donna spoke of her sacrifices. Her husband, Harvey, in a performance that could have been ripped from the same psychological playbook, declared that she had done nothing wrong and that the system had destroyed their lives. There was no mention of Dan Markell's name, no acknowledgement that their own son, Charlie, had been convicted of orchestrating the murder. No trace of remorse, only the shared delusion that they were the victims, while actually blaming the victim's family. They're liars. They see their grandkids. I've seen pictures of them. Wendy has shown them to me. Well, that must make it true that you've seen pictures. You got pictures? Wendy said that she sees them and you believe it? Okay, it must be true. Were you there with those visits? Did you see those visits happen? Or you just pictures? Okay, Harvey. Thanks for the update. What about your wife over there who was joking about the Nazi uniforms on the kids, huh? What about that? That seems a little weird. Seems a little off. What about your wife writing checks to the intermediary between the hitman and your son's girlfriend? Huh? What about that? That's a little weird, too. No evidence. Okay. It's ice cream cart time, Harvey. Okay. To anyone who's ever been entangled with a narcissist, this sounds like deja vu. It's a script they all use. Minimize, deflect, reframe, and finally martyr themselves on the altar of their own suffering. The world becomes a stage for their victimhood, and everyone else is a supporting character. Even in handcuffs, Donna was still performing. The disgust people feel isn't about her age or even about the crime itself. It's about the total lack of self-awareness, because narcissism is the only pathology that makes evil look boring. It's predictable, rehearsed, and shockingly consistent across people who have never met. The same manipulation, the same poor me monologues, the same strategic tears that never quite reach the eyes. And in Donna's case, all of it was on public display. The phone calls to her family, the control she tried to exert over her daughter, Wendy, the plans to flee to Vietnam when things started to crumble. It was all a masterclass in entitlement. She was just running from the law. She was running from accountability. And the one thing narcissists fear more than anything else, it's a little something called
exposure. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you, Donna.
That's how it works in their minds. It sounds exactly like that. Exactly. Same voice, same tone, same. But really, I mean, that's That's the motivating factor. You're like, why are people acting this way? Why do people do these sort of things? It's that exposure, being exposed for the dark shit they think about, the dark ways they try to manipulate people. And eventually, they don't even know they're doing it. Because that realization that you don't have empathy, that passed a long time ago. They figured out how to manipulate things, and in their mind, they must have empathy because this must be how it feels. Unfortunately, it's not. Because people with empathy don't behave these sort of ways. People mimicking empathy that get off track do. And those are called narcissists. For survivors of narcissistic abuse, that's a nightmare. You spend years being told that your abuser is too powerful, too nice, too clever, too manipulative. They can never do that. Why would you think that about that? You're just overthinking it. You're doing it. You get gaslit by the flying monkeys. You watch them charm judges, therapists, family members, all while you're dismissed as too emotional. You begin to think the truth will never matter because they're so good at rewriting it and manipulating them. And then you see someone like Donna Adelson, calm, calculated, sitting in a courtroom where her story doesn't work anymore. And it hits you. Sometimes the mask does fall. Sometimes even the most polished narcissist runs out of audience. There's also something deeply gendered about how people are reacting to her. Society still struggles to reconcile the image of a nurturing mother with the psychology of narcissistic abuse. We like to pretend it doesn't exist, that this is impossible. How, especially people who had good moms, how could anyone be like, well, guess what? People want to believe that maternal love is unconditional, that mothers sacrifice, protect, and nurture no matter what, and good ones do. Donna weaponized that belief, though. She turned motherhood into leverage, love into control, and loyalty into a kind of emotional blackmail. And millions of people watching recognized it. Because they've seen it in their own mothers, grandmothers, or partners. That quiet suffocation that hides behind phrases like, I only want what's best for you. I was just... dot, dot, dot.
You were just what, Donna?
I was just doing what was going to be best for them.
Tell that to yourself again. Say it again. Say it again. Believe it.
It was what was best for them.
Even though it really wasn't, you know the truth. You and me only know the truth because, God damn it, you got to do what's best for you, and you want those kids by you. So do whatever you need to do. He hasn't coming.
Daddy's a lovely boy. Lovely boy. That's how that conversation went. I'll write the checks.
Good girl, Donna.
I guess Donna's conscious as Satan. Well, judging by her actions and, you know, judging by a lot of narcissists, we kind of, those of us who are survivors of it, kind of go, maybe. But what Donna wanted was control. Control over her son, over her daughter, over her grandchildren, over the narrative of what her family was supposed to be.
And you had every right to want that, Donna.
And when someone, in this case, Dan Markell, disrupted that illusion, the machinery of narcissistic rage went into motion. The narcissist rage isn't about justice or revenge. It's about restoring the image, making the world look the way they believe it should, or how others should see it according to them. Dan Markell didn't just win custody disputes. He defied the family myth. He told the truth. He saw through the performance. And narcissists can't forgive being seen. Can't. And that's why Donna Adelson's story hit such a collective nerve. Because it reminds people that narcissistic abuse isn't just psychological. It's structural. It seeps into families, institutions, and entire belief systems. It's not always lethal, but it's always corrosive. It eats away at empathy, honesty, and reality itself until everyone around the narcissist is questioning their own perception of truth. When the verdicts came in, Charlie's conviction, Donna's arrest, The public didn't cheer because they loved punishment. They cheered because they finally saw the system recognize what survivors have been screaming into the void for years, that narcissists destroy lives in ways that are hard to measure until it's too late. And seeing accountability, even in one extreme example, offers a kind of healing by proxy. What's most haunting, though, is how ordinary Donna seems. That's the part that sticks with people. She's not some shadowy mobster or a wild-eyed cult leader. She looks like someone's grandmother, polite, articulate, composed. She could be sitting next to you at a synagogue or leading a PTA meeting or telling you about her son's dental practice. The Institute. That's what makes narcissism so dangerous. It doesn't wear a mask of madness. It wears one of normalcy. People don't notice until the damage is already done. In her final moments of freedom before she was arrested at Miami International Airport, Donna was reportedly calm, serene even. And that makes sense. Narcissists don't panic when the walls close in. They reframe the story. They convince themselves they're the victim of injustice. They script their downfall as a tragedy rather than an exposure. And that's how she'll likely live the rest of her life. Not as a woman who helped orchestrate the destruction of another family, but as a misunderstood matriarch who gave too much. It's a delusion as a coping mechanism, and it's what allows narcissists to survive in the wreckage they create. That's why they're out there in the wild. For everyone who's ever lived under the spell of someone like that, Donna's story is more than just true crime. It's a mirror. It's a reflection of what it feels like to be slowly erased by someone who insists they love you. It's the ache of realizing that love for them was always a transaction, a tool for control, not connection. And watching her downfall is both satisfying and sad. Because, you know, she'll never understand why it's happening. Narcissists don't learn. They rewrite. Maybe that's why the public disgust feels so unified. It's not rooted in hate. It's rooted in recognition. It's a collective exhale of people who've escaped the gravity of narcissists and can finally call them what they are without fear of being punished for it. For once, the mask didn't work, the tears didn't manipulate, and the script didn't save her. And in a world where narcissists so often win, that feels like justice. But it's also a warning, because Donna Adelson isn't an outlier. She's a reminder that narcissism doesn't always kill, but it always harms. It's the silent epidemic that doesn't make headlines until it explodes into tragedy. And when it does, the world finally sees what survivors have known all along. Behind every polished facade, every perfectly rehearsed line, every "I only wanted what's best," there's often something far darker. A need to control, so consuming it devours everyone in its orbit. Donna Adelson may be behind bars now, but the kind of narcissism she represents is still out there. In boardrooms, living rooms, families, and marriages, rewriting stories, shifting blame, and smiling through the destruction. And that's why people can't look away. Because when we see her, we're not just seeing a criminal. We're seeing the face of a type of evil that once pretended to love us. And this time, finally, the world saw it too. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. We do greatly appreciate that. And hey, while you're there, please press the subscribe button. I'd appreciate that. We'd all appreciate that. It's nice. Then you can keep up on all these videos that we put out for you all the time. There's a lot of them. If you like true crime and this kind of approach, hit subscribe. They really, really do appreciate that. So thank you for doing that. And yeah, check us out on our podcast platforms as well. Wherever you get podcasts, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you'll find us. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.